Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mob of optimism, but it makes your race glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss the grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashton, they're calling out our names. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
I hope that's the case. You guys are listening. We know people like to hang out for the show and listen to see what's going on there. This is Jeremy Moss here from MWCConnection.com, which, if you're first time listening, thanks for joining us. Hawaii fans, I know there's a lot of people out in the islands listening to the show, and it's an early Sunday evening out there. That's our website, Mountain West Connection Facebook, MWC Connection on Twitter. It is a different Chris joining us this evening. Chris Hondres, a little bit last-minute plans. But we still move on, as always. We're going to be discussing the Rainbow Warriors tonight and go over their, if they can get to bowl eligible, if Norm Child is going to be their head coach next year, all sorts of stuff. And we got our man right now, Chris Turner. I assume this is you online to help
it
us out talk
me.
Quiet. Good. Just making sure the only number showed up, so we are hoping it's you.
How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. Doing good. It's not yet June 1st, but we're talking football next year, and that's always great.
Yeah, we're almost there. I mean, a few more months, and we'll be September 7th is the day. I got it marked on my calendar. I'm ready for it.
Yep. Fall camp coming early August. But, yeah, we're talking Hawaii tonight. There's not really any news to discuss. The only news we could really discuss is the win totals, which we can from Five Dimes, which we'll get into later on. But, yeah, check out Chris. Check him out at ChrisLTurner.com. Looks like he's also a sports professional at KOMU, if you don't know that. Is that correct?
That's
still?
Correct. I anchor Thursday morning sports at KOMU. It's the NBC affiliate in Columbia. And all it's taught me these first few weeks is that I've lost a lot of sleep.
Ah, so it's a new job. I know that is.
Yeah, I worked there in the newsroom for the first part of the spring semester, and I'm anchoring for the first 7 weeks of the summer. So definitely a good experience and a resume builder for sure.
Of course. I got a new job working back in some radio business. I know how that first month is or so.
I want to brag about myself, but you're the producer. I think it's ESPN. I want to say 980?
960, all BYU
960.
All the time.
960, that was my next guess.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, it's fine. I know how it is. It's even though I've done that for a while, like you've done TV stuff, it's just knowing the nuances of all the little things. I'm like, oh, this is right, or those type of stuff that happens at any new job. It's like, I've done this before, but it's a new location, new something else, and there's always something that trips you up.
Yeah, you gotta readjust and reacclimate.
Yeah, and especially... Now, not to go off topic, but that's what we do here. When your soundboard doesn't work for the past week and you have to juggle between turning on and off interviews and you can't talk on air while the other guy's talking, that makes things difficult. But that's we're done. That's enough. That's first month issues that people don't like to help the new guy with, I guess.
Yeah, got to just get through it all.
We're good. Let's talk some Hawaii football. We got the Warriors. Let's start with the win total, because your article a few months back, I think it was a few months back, we'll say recently, You had them at about 5 wins, basically because of their, I believe they had, what was it, 5 or 6 games decided by essentially a touchdown or loss at 8 points or loss with a 2-point conversion. And I assume you're a big picture. If that flips around, they might stay home and play in a bowl game, perhaps.
Yeah, if you look at last year, there were 6 games that they were within 10 points. And, you know, you could argue the ball bounces a different way. They win some of those games. Like, more specifically, you know, you look at those opening 2 weeks playing Washington and playing Oregon State. The Oregon State game wasn't as close as the Washington game. That Washington game, they came out and kind of just smacked the Washington in the mouth. And obviously this wasn't the, you know, athletic Washington team from the year before. You know, this was a team without Keith Price. But Hawaii really came out and they showed that they were good. But, you know, Norm Chow said at the beginning of last year that the goal for this team was to finish. And, you know, they weren't able to do that as often as they would like. There were still impressive wins. I think Wyoming definitely up there is one of the more impressive wins. And then they go and shut out San Jose State. But still, you know, there still definitely needs to be room for improvement. And I think this year, you know, looking at the schedule, I do think 5 wins is possible. But this is a very, very top-heavy schedule, you know. I mean, just looking at the opening 5 weeks, you got Colorado, Ohio State, UC Davis, Wisconsin, and Boise State. You know, if I'm Hawaii, I'm lucky to get maybe 2 wins out of that,
Those are 3 road games, too. Boise,
3 road games. They're going
Wisconsin,
to
Ohio
State, to Wisconsin, and Boise.
Whew, man, that's a tough one.
Like I said, very, very top-heavy.
That's what it is. I remember last year, too, that Colorado game. For some reason, I don't recall what the deal was. I was in my backyard mowing the lawn. I'm like, hey, I'll pull up the ESPN app and listen to Hawaii versus Colorado on the radio. Oh, man, it's field goal after field goal after field goal last year. I think they, 21-12 or something? They get to, like, the 5-yard line. Oh, we'll settle for 3 points. 3 more points here.
Yeah, field goals, that was a very rough game. I mean, that was kind of like, that was Norm Chow's experience, like trying to experiment with the quarterback situation probably, 4 weeks too late? Because, you know, he starts with the Kaika Woolsey, and then, you know, he throws Taylor Graham in there, and Taylor Graham gets hurt. I think he screwed up his shoulder, I think.
Probably. He's had that shoulder for a while.
And then Jeremy Higgins, that was the game he broke his hand. So that means that put him out for the year. So then you were left with the Kaika Woolsey and 2 true freshmen who never started a down of college football in their life.
That makes things tough, right?
Yeah.
It's a little tricky.
Man. Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be the situation this year. I mean, you got 2 guys with experience, you know, kind of shifting gears to the quarterback situation, because I know that's definitely, when you talk Hawaii football, whoever the quarterback is definitely like the major talking point. So you have one guy in Kaika Woolsey, you know, who's got the experience, but he hasn't shown that he's played well in this experience. Then you have a guy in Max Wittick who's coming from a huge Power 5 program that, granted, you know, he got beat out by Cody Kessler. He's definitely got experience, and, you know, he's definitely, you know, the kind of quarterback that could fit in a system like Hawaii's.
So is it, from what I've seen kind of a little bit here and there, is it Wittick and no matter what? That's kind of my thinking of why the 5 times guys stuck him at 6 wins is that they think, oh, they got a USC quarterback. Is he the – what I've read, it seems like it's Wittick, but I don't think anything's 100% official on that.
Yeah, I think this kind of quarterback competition is one that's going to run through near the end of summer. Like, even into fall camp, I think Norm Chow is going to be like, yeah, I have no idea. But right now, I think if I'm Norm Chow, I want Wittick. You know, like I said, coming from that Power 5 program, he's a guy – he's got the experience, and he's played well. He's shown flashes of where he can play well. Of course, he's shown flashes on the low end of that spectrum, too. But you know what you're going to get with the Kaika Woolsey. I think we've seen maybe his peak as a quarterback. You know, he shows a lot of inaccuracies. And, yes, he has mobility, but at the same time, you know, it's not for good or well, I guess. So I think I think Wittick right now, I'd put him as the favorite. But, you know, the Hawaii luck would be that Wittick gets hurt, and then you're left with Woolsey and then 2 true freshmen.
Yeah, Bo Riley, but that's still – that's what – because that was an issue last year. Keep switching back and forth. The quinterback was part of Hawaii and Fresno and New Mexico, putting all these guys out there. There are so many teams we could go into that. But I just think with the tough schedule, and you'll probably agree, that they have to have somebody – Because even Colorado's getting better. It's at home, which helps. That's always a tough place for teams to come in. But they need to find a guy because they're not going to beat Ohio State, so I don't know if their game plan is going to be there, really. But they can't be switched around after UC Davis. You need to have your gut in and go with it. Because I could see him, if the Ohio State game gets out of hand, sticking somebody else if you're not 100% sure and see what you have. But by week three, they have to have the guy because at Wisconsin, at Boise, host San Diego State, at New Mexico, that's still, that first half is just brutal. And they can't be going back and forth like, what was it, Fresno went through, I think, week six or week seven before they settled on one quarterback.
Yeah, that was, like I said, that was a big problem last year, you know, halfway through the Colorado game. That was still, throughout the majority of it, like a one or two possession game. And you're switching up these quarterbacks and changing up the tempo of the offense with each quarterback. So, you know, the big problem here is, you know, is he willing to stick with one? And I think that's going to be how the offense is defined. If you stick with Wittig, you're going to be a really pass-first kind of offense with a pocket quarterback, or you go with Woolsey, and you're still going to air it out, but you have a quarterback who can take off and run.
But do we know what offense they want to run? Because Norm Tell's known for a passive offense anywhere he's gone. Tennessee, USC, BYU, NC State, he's always been throwing the ball. So why would he even want to go with Woolsey? Woolsey seemed like last year he can get the job done, but it's not really what he wants.
And that, I mean, that goes on with the new coordinator. You know, Don Bailey coming in from Idaho State. Last year, Bengals, they're topping FCS in passing yards per game, about 340-something. So then that kind of goes into my reasoning for Wittig getting the job is because he's got the arm. Like, I think he can air it out more than Woolsey when it comes down to it.
That, yeah, it makes the most sense. Woolsey's been there, but just settle on a guy. I think they should go with Wittig and see what they have, especially during the first month, because he's going to have – played, and when he was at USC, he played whoever, UCLA. I don't remember exactly who he played, but if he started, I remember there was I think he played against Hawaii a couple years ago, that first part of him and Cody Kessler, and they kind of split a couple of games, but he's been to enough big games. If you're playing Wisconsin, Ohio State, you got to get a guy who's going to be, oh, cool, whatever, I'm playing in front of 90,000, I'll be all right.
Yeah. And considering, you know, since he didn't graduate, you're only getting 1 year of eligibility out of him. So I think you go ahead and take what you're going to get.
That's my only problem with him. It should have been 2 years because he should have known his credit situation last year to be on this team.
That's something he should have known ahead of time. If he was really – like, if he knew that he wasn't going to be back in Los Angeles for that last year, then he should have been looking ahead, which, you know, I think it's going to hurt Hawaii because, you know, if they get Wittig and, like, he ends up being this great quarterback and, like, the ceiling they get there at six wins because of Max Wittig, what's 2016 going to look like?
Yeah, you're starting over again, essentially.
And then, you know, that's the whole thing with Woolsey, and then you have two freshmen, Bo Riley and then Aaron Zuelin.
And don't they have a guy who's, he's a Mormon, so he went on a two-year mission. Isn't he, wasn't he, I forget his name.
That was Aaron Zuelin. He was the Elite 11 kid from California. Yeah, mm-hmm. California. And he went on that two-year Mormon mission, and he's got the talent. And I think, you know, if you put him through with a guy like Norm Chow, I think he can definitely succeed. I mean, definitely if he gets an opportunity, like, you know, looking at some of these games like Ohio State or Wisconsin, if he gets in there early and he shows that he can, like, play at that level, then I think that's definitely something to look toward for the future.
Yeah, I just need to build something because you don't want to – it's like with the thing at UNLV, old, like what they used to do with John Robinson and even ever that then until now. Let's bring in the Pac-12 transfer, trouble kid, reject, whatever you want to call it, some guy who leaves to help bring your program back and there for three semesters and don't do much. And they didn't have success either way, I'm getting to win or not, but you don't want to rely on JUCO guys or one-year guys to come in to help your program every year because that's a vicious cycle. So let's go to running back. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, even with Norm Chow's, like, instability as head coach right now, I think you still got to try and plan ahead.
Of course, yeah. You can't just play for. If Wittig's your guy, that's fine, and he's exceptional. But if it's close, like, even, it should go with Woosley, in my opinion. At least give him a couple
I'd
weeks.
I'd be inclined to agree with you there.
All right, let's go to the next position. They lost their special running back. I know we joked about Joey Osefa running the 5.0 at his combine or pro day. Still got drafted. Still got picked up.
Seventh round. That's money.
What did they go? Tampa Bay, is that right? Or the Titans?
Tampa Bay. I think it was 203rd overall.
Man, that 5.0140 paid off.
Apparently, they wanted to draft a fridge, so they just went ahead and did it.
Fullback, right? Fullback.
He's going to line up at fullback. I don't think he's got the speed or the ability to, you know, cut in traffic to be an NFL running back.
Yeah, he was more of a – he had some good runs, some pretty agility, but he wasn't the – not your speed guy. He's your guy.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
Give him the toss and see if he can knock a guy over for a couple yards. But they have –
not much else.
Steven Lakalaka, is that how you say it? Am I correct on that name, Steven?
Lakalaka, I believe that's correct.
Since everybody knows I love – I'm awesome at names. But we got him back because Iosefa, he only played a couple – he only played a handful of games because that broken foot kept bothering him. But Lakalaka played very well when they were both together. I think we noticed that the last three games of the season or whatever, that's when they kept, instead of fading off from injury, he was one of the guys coupled with Iosefa. They don't fumble the ball. He pretty much identical numbers to Iosefa if you look at it, outside of the touchdowns. Him and, I'm going to butcher this game, it was St. Juste, that guy, Dyesme?
St. Juste, I think.
Okay. Zasofsky, okay. You got him and Lakalaka. I think the running game could be good because it wasn't, like we said, Iosefa is not a fast guy, and if he's able to put up yards and touchdowns, there's something going right in front for the blockers, and I think this area could probably be their strength in offense.
I think I'd agree with you there. You know, Lakalaka and St. Juste coming back, you know, you have a speed guy in St. Juste, you know, very shifty, very athletic, and then we talked about Iosefa Light, Steven Lakalaka. He doesn't fumble it. He's got that type of Joey's Iosefa running ability where he's going to run over guys, and, you know, he's going to get a ton of carries. And, you know, the one concern is, can he be healthy, though? And, you know, he's going to be behind one of the best offensive lines in recent Norm Chow's tenure. You know, he's got a bunch of guys with over 55 starts, and Ben Clark, Dejon Allen, Elijah Tupai. That's just a few of the guys there. This is one of the more experienced lines coming back. And with those two guys in the backfield, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, Don Bailey, he's going to want to air it out as much as possible. But when they do go to the run game, I think it does have a chance to be moderately successful.
So with that, like, offensive line, now it always comes back to quarterback and the way Woosley kind of like freestyles a little bit. That makes me think more to Whittick, because if they have that experienced line, then you wouldn't want them swiveling their head around like, all right, where's my quarterback? Which am I blocking? The play's broken down in 2 seconds. And if they have those guys back, stick with the more pocket guy and just sling it and don't give up any sacks.
Yeah, I mean, Whittick, I think he's more composed than Woolsey would be in terms of the pocket starting to break down, you know. From what I saw last year, Woolsey, anytime a pocket would break down, you know, he would immediately kind of go haywire. And if he'd watch his feet, you know, he'd kind of go all over the place. With Whittick, I think he'd kind of make that step up and try to keep the play going, which, you know, the big problem with Hawaii last year was a lot of plays were dead in the water and would result in, you know, really bad throw or, you know, no yards gain. So I think with Whittick, you're going to get more consistency in terms of keeping the play alive.
Okay, so with that, if they keep the play alive and they actually throw the ball reasonably well, they also, like, Marcus Kemp was probably their receiving core. I don't want to say the best. We haven't gone through every team, but this has to be one of the better ones because Fresno's lost all their guys. Utah State should be pretty good. Boise State's pretty good because I think they only lost Matt Miller, and they have other guys coming back. But this could be one of the better ones. With Quentin Pedrosa and Marcus Kemp have over 100 catches last year. And then you have Anthony Vasquez Haynes.
I got it here. They had a Pedrosa and Kemp, 115 receptions and 6 touchdowns between them last year.
Mm-hmm. Touchdowns could be higher, but they're getting that. And if Vasquez Haynes is anything, like, because he missed last year, if he can come back and get nearly his 8 yards a target, geez, that's a pretty good trio.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Probably the position I'm most excited about this year is probably the receiving core. You mentioned that Pedroza's coming back, and you also have Marcus Kemp. Both of those guys are extremely athletic guys. who can go up there and grab the ball. And you mentioned Vasquez Haynes. He was hurt last year. I think it was a shoulder injury that took him out for all of last year. And, you know, even in the receiver depth, you know, you lose a guy like Scott Harding, you know, obviously one of your better receivers at the H-back slot throughout most of the year. You still have some JUCO guys coming in. You got Devin Stubblefield. He tore his ACL, I believe, in fall camp last year. And even behind him, you have Keelan Iwaliko, who mainly ran special teams. You can also move Diosemi St. Just out to receiver as well. And interesting receiver coming in here, Dylan Cauley. He came back. He's another one of those Mormon mission guys coming to Hawaii. The name sounds familiar because it's Austin Cauley's little brother.
It is, yes. That, and if he's anything close to his brother, that's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, so I definitely think this receiving corps, it looks like it has a lot of talent. But, of course, the receivers are nothing without a good quarterback.
Yeah, they got the guys there. If they can, because I remember it was a couple years ago that Billy Ray Huntsman, I think his name, or Stuntsman. Bill, I just call him Billy Ray all the time.
It is Stuntsman, I think.
Some whatever, Billy Ray. I just remember that from Trading Places, Billy Ray. But he was a guy, like, he had huge numbers, but that's all they had. And if this combination keeps up this, I don't want to get too far ahead because every time we do these previews, me and Chris and whoever, if we have you on or whoever on, it's always, I'm putting my hand way above my head, like, oh, this team's going to be great. They're going to be awesome. And then, oh, they're 4-8 or something at this point. But it's just this team, because like you said, I think you put a little blurb on there when you were asked about Norm Chow's coaching situation a couple weeks ago for SB Nation about, like, what's it going to take? And I think it's almost bull or bust, but I'm wondering if this is finally the team he wants to have on offense. He has,
you know, I would say that this is his most talented offensive team.
Has to be. And it's not just like one or two guys on the team. It's multiple guys who should be playmakers.
No, this is I feel like it's coming together slowly. You know, last year, you know, it was ESFA and then maybe one or two guys. This year, you know, like I said, you have experienced offensive linemen. You don't have one or two, but you have three potential wide receiver threats. You just have one big question at quarterback. If you can get that question answered before the last week of August, or even before, you know, going even further, before the second game, then I think this offense could go, you know, leaps and bounds from where it was last year.
I hope that's the case, but it'll be hard to tell just because we'll get to the schedule in a little bit, but for the first half of the season, they might have two wins, and they could be much better than they've ever been.
And I mean, last year during Mountain West play, they showed flashes, and you know, looking at the schedule, they came very close in a few instances. You know, the Nevada game, they hung in there for most of the time. San Diego State wasn't a blowout. The Fresno State game was very close. You know, there's just a few games in there where they showed flashes, and then other games where they didn't show up at all.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll get to the game. But defense, man, whew. There could be some issues there if there's any players go down with any sort of injury. Because they've lost.
Defensive depth is definitely, you know, a concern to look at. And, like, there's still talent. Still talent on the defense. You know, one player I'm extremely excited about, Kennedy Tuamasili. Loved watching him. You know, very athletic on the front seven. But, again, like you said, it's about depth. If he were to go down or you're looking at a player, German Castro or Simon Pody, what do you go to?
A lot of new guys.
A lot of new guys, yes.
Because they can, they've had a few guys get to backfill. Then they get Jarrell Garcia-Williams back. He was out last year. Linebackers look a little bit better at that, but the front down linemen only returning two guys that replaced their nose tackle, they just have both their defensive ends. And Luke Shaley and Tula Maselli, I believe, if I'm correct on that. But they get to the quarterback, at least Tula Maselli did quite well. Luke Shaley, he needs some work to get back there. He gets the tackles, but if you're playing the end spot, you gotta do something. Get some pass breakups. You got to get to QB because you're the speed guy on that line. But they just can't have anybody go down. And their defense wasn't – they showed okay at times, but their defense is, I don't think, ever going to be anything special. They just need – stay healthy and be at least average would probably be my best case scenario for them.
You know, yeah, I think health is definitely number one for this team. Number two, I think, is how new D coordinator Tom Mason is going to run this defense. Last year, I was incredibly impressed by what Kevin Kloon was able to do with this defense before he jumped. He jumped and went back to Utah State. You know, the 3-4, it showed when it was on, it was on. That's really all you can say about this Hawaii defense. You know, very, very talented group last year. And now, you know, you come in with a new D coordinator and you still have some faces from last year. But again, if they aren't healthy, how can you have success? You know, front seven, you know, very, you know, that's kind of losing the teeth of your defense there. They lost a few very good players. And, you know, looking at the secondary, there's still a lot of, there's a lot of talent returning in the secondary, but if you can't stop them up front, what good is a good secondary?
And also, yeah, that too. And then they also have the transfers coming, like the transfers coming in. They got the, I'll probably get this wrong because any Hawaiian name just probably kills anybody. Makini Kema Kaluia, close enough, from Arizona. Russell Williams, a JUCO guy. So they have new talent coming in, but again, it's if they take anything from Kevin Kloon, what he did defensively last year, which you think they would, because him being at Utah State for however many years prior, he knows a few things about defense. If they can keep that going, and linebackers are good, but it's like if you think about it, if there's no pressure, if they don't get through their job, whether the nose tackle needs to take up two guys on the line, if that's never happening, then one of your linebackers has to, I got to try to get it through two guys to get to the quarterback or multiple guys to get to the running back. And so I think the ultimate is that front line can do anything, do reasonably well and open up the linebackers, not to kind of do what they want, but give them more open spaces to make plays because they don't want them to go through the guard center and then find a running back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just found this stat. They're losing five of last year's top set or front seven right now. So, like I said, you got guys coming back. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of new guys coming in that can make an impact. You know, I look at Luke Shawley or Jeremy Castro. I believe Castro played a little bit last year. But I think, you know, during full time, during these opening weeks, you know, if they can show some flashes of, you know, playing good against these top caliber teams and then, and then continue that success in the Mountain West play, I think going into next year, the defense can just continue to grow.
Yeah, because I think that's the case. And looking kind of at their returning stats and guys coming back into it, like even going back to Garcia Williams, everybody in the linebacking core is getting 2 to 5 tackles for loss, whether it be sack or just a behind-the-line tackle for the running back. So that, all again, like I said, we'll repeat a million times, but the front three, four, the front of the defense has to open these guys up. And I think there is talent there, but like you said, any injury, if their defensive line's not, if they don't find a good down lineman that take that middle spot in the 3-4, that's where it'll probably fall apart. And then the passing game, they bring enough guys back defensively. Everybody's got pass anybody in this league. So unless you get some pass breakups, like you said, Phillips, he had 6. They need something like that from all their guys.
Yeah, you know, coming in, there's still, like I said, a lot of good talent coming back. You mentioned Naquan Phillips. You got Trayvon Henderson as well. And some young guys who can make an impact too. Probably Hawaii's best recruit, Solomon Matutia, 3-star safety from Iwa Beach, Hawaii. Definitely a guy who could come in and play day one if need be in the safety corps as well. So definitely interested in what the secondary can do. Like you said, a lot of teams pass in this league. So, you know, if they pass first, then Hawaii, I think, you know, can really have a good chance to shut them down. But coming into the run defense, then, you know, I think it could be a toss-up.
All right, I have the biggest question overall of what we're talking about tonight. Who's going to replace Scott Harding at any position he played?
Oh, man. Well, Scott Harding, you know, there really wasn't a player like him in recent memory in college football. You know, guy did almost – if Norm Chow wouldn't get overruled, he would have put Scott Harding at quarterback.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
But, you know, looking at, like, the H-back position, I mentioned the Diosimi St. Just. Definitely, you know, the athletic type of shifty guy that can fill that role at H-back. And, you know, definitely – and he also had kick return and punt return duties last year as well. So I think you can check off those boxes as well. Punter, I think, I'm going to be very honest with you. Punter, I think it could go a couple ways. You know, a few freshmen, a few seniors on the roster. I mean, obviously special teams isn't exactly the biggest concern right now, but I think filling that H-back role on the offense is what Norm Chow is more concerned about.
So who do you think would be there? Would it be St. Justine be that guy?
Yeah, I think it's going to be St. Justine. You know, he's got, like I said, he's got the athletic capability and the speed that I think Harding had at H-back and kick returner and punt returner as well.
All right, we've gone 30 minutes, just almost exactly. Let's get to the games. Let's talk some games. So week one, they play September 3rd. Are you going to be awake to watch the game? Because that's a late kickoff, 7 p.m. Hawaii time. You are Central Time Zone, is that correct?
I am in Central Time Zone, yes.
That's midnight, right? Is that correct?
That's about midnight, 11 p.m. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's oh man, why is that? What is CBS Sports doing? I don't want to look at the schedule, but I'm wondering if there's a game prior to that. But why is it that game that late at hour? That makes
sense.
Well,
I mean, are you gonna get? I mean, Hawaii struggles with attendance as is, but are you gonna get a good crowd of people to come watch Hawaii football at 3 p.m. Hawaii time versus 7 p.m.?
I get that. I think at least 6 o'clock, because I don't think they've ever had a 1 a.m. Eastern game in so long. Like, usually they're midnight, even when they played the late game when they're on ESPN for years back in the WAC, when they always played that last game. It was always 11:59 p.m. Eastern they play. So, but maybe it's Thursday night and they want to get people there, and that's probably better than 6, I guess. But it's just a late game, man. So if you want to watch it, you're diehard. That is the opening night of college football, so I bet there will be more people than normal checking out that game.
I mean, depending on what time I have class in the morning, then I might watch it. Otherwise, I'm going to be sleeping like a log.
As you probably should be.
I like Hawaii football, but at the same time, I like sleep.
Yeah, and if you're working that morning shift, man, whew.
Yeah, that's
true. There's another more pressing job thing going on that, but it's interesting. So with the game, I think Colorado and Hawaii are very similar. We're not going to go too in-depth in all these games, just kind of gloss over them, but I think these teams are almost mirror images of each other, where they've been the worst in their conference for the past couple of years. New coaches, Colorado more recent than Hawaii, but they're both building up. And Colorado had a similar look. I feel like their losses are similar to how Hawaii was. They had a lot of close games. So the talent level, I'd give the edge to CU there, but I just think they're kind of mirror image teams, at least in production past couple years.
Yeah, I'd agree with you that Colorado and Hawaii are very close, and, you know, not going to give out a flat-out prediction, but this will be a very close game. But, you know, Colorado, I feel like, is bringing a lot back. But with Colorado, their problem is it's tougher for them to compete in their conference. You know, the Pac-12s are just continuing to get better every year, and it's just going to get harder and harder for, you know, Mike McIntyre to continue that upward climb. You know, he's got so much coming back. Nelson Spruce, Addison Gilliam, and, of course, Sefu Lifau. You know, that team is going to be very, very good. But, you know, traveling on the road to Hawaii, you know, I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a very close game.
It probably will. And they're, like, I'm familiar to Pac-12 South being a Utah guy. Colorado can get this great talent, but it's still probably not going to be better than Arizona State. They're just going to need until they can kind of build back up, get a guys who are I'm choosing between, like, Cal, Washington, Oregon, or not Oregon, but, like, those levels are maybe, like, a high team, like Utah State, Boise State, teams like that, and Colorado, where you're getting Texas Tech offers, Arkansas offers, where he could be good, but he's not this high-caliber guy to step in right away. But we'll see.
Right.
I think it'll be close, because if Hawaii scored some touchdowns last year, this would have been a game.
Yeah. You look at last year's game, that offense finishes some of those drives, it's a different game.
Yeah, because I think, if I recall, there wasn't last year a kick or punt return for Colorado that was either a touchdown or something that was, like, almost all the way to, like, inside the 10 or something.
It was a kick return, if I remember correctly.
Something either a touchdown or they scored like a play or two later. And that was an issue as well. So I remember what I think there's also an Oregon State game, Washington game there. Big, not necessarily special teams, but big plays given up to prevent them from possibly winning.
Yeah, a Washington game I remember very vividly. It was, I believe it was 16-10, Hawaii, and third, it was maybe late second quarter, and I think it was a John Ross 90-something yard touchdown pass that ended up being the game winner.
And I think I recall, I think I questioned some play calling. This is going real deep, but there was a non-PI call or some terrible play calling or something that resulted in that 90-yard. Oh, they went for like a fourth down or field goal range or something like that where I think that next play was that long touchdown you're referring to.
Yeah, I remember that. It was four, it was like a halfback pass with Joey Iosefa showing off his arm to the NFL scouts.
That's what it was. I knew it was something odd. Oh, man. But, okay, we'll move on. So if you had to pick, would you think – I know we're not doing all picks, but any what would you say percentage – to win this game? Over 50-50 is kind of toss-up?
I would probably say, you know, there's a, man, it's, like I said, it's going to be very close, but I would say
55-45
Colorado, I would say. Okay. Right now.
That makes sense. All right, so any hope versus Ohio State? Any hope at all? Anything? Any point?
0.01% count as a hope.
I guess technically. That,
then,
I don't know what that's going to be tough.
I'm going to go ahead and say no. They're defending champions for a reason. And, you know, this Hawaii team, it's talented, but not college football playoff champion talented. I don't think that's going to be a very close game.
Just stay healthy. I think that's the main goal. Stay healthy.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of just a – I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's going to be kind of like a scrimmage game. You know, your goal, not to get hurt, just get out there. Take your paycheck.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking that game, the UC Davis game, if they're not settled on a QB, those are two games where they can kind of tinker if things get out of hand either way. If they get a big lead versus UC Davis and they realize the Ohio State game just so out of reach, let's see what we have. But those are two games. But then Wisconsin, I'm in the same thing. Yeah, they don't have Melvin Gordon, but they bring in whoever else is going to be running the ball. They have, the new head coach.
Paul Christ.
Paul Christ, yeah, I knew, because I remember Barry Alvarez was coach the final game. New head coach, that's a little issue, kind of, but I still think it's a game where, like you said, it's going to be like almost the Ohio State game, essentially.
Wisconsin, that I would say there's maybe a smidgen more hope for that game, but, you know, this is a Wisconsin team that's still returning about 12 starters, you know, still has a lot of talent, even without Melvin Gordon. I mean, obviously, you know, Melvin Gordon was a big part of that team last year, but he wasn't the only player out there, obviously.
Of course. Their schedule, they seriously could be, like, you got Wisconsin, at Boise, even San Diego State, and at New Mexico. They could have one win by that point. Is that possible, you think?
No, I think one win is definitely possible in that stretch. And right now, I would say that one win could be UC Davis. I mean, I say that hesitantly because they only beat Northern Iowa by 3 last year at home.
Yes.
But UC Davis, I would mark as that win right now. Like I said, no hope of being Ohio State or Wisconsin. Boise, yes, they lose Garrett Grant Hedrick and they're losing Jay Ajayi, but they're still reloading.
Their defense
That defense is going to be very good, like you said. And Boise, like I said, and being at Boise too, I think is going to be kind of the dagger in that one.
I think Aztecs game, let's start there, because that game, they do have the best player in the league, Donald Pumphrey, at least going into the season, a running back there. With Aztecs, they don't have a quarterback at the moment, and that's been some issues. Rocky Long, he's a good coach, but there's always stuff happens with them, it seems like, a little bit. That game could go either way, but I still say talent-wise, you have Aztecs over Hawaii, because Hawaii, until they can win 4 games in a year, it's hard to pick them to beat anybody.
Yeah, I would say, I would agree with you that San Diego State, talent-wise, is above Hawaii for sure. You know, looking at that defense, too, you know, they got 8 guys coming back, you know, a good chunk of the front 7, then almost all the secondary, too. So I think that's going to be kind of the difference maker is how San Diego State plays on defense compared to you know, Hawaii's offense. They still need to find that quarterback. You know, they had Quinn Kaler last year, but of course they still have Donald Pumphrey coming back. And I think he's going to be, you know, getting a lot of carries going into that game and into the season.
He should. And then New Mexico, my favorite dark horse team after Hawaii. Sorry, but that's the case. Have you seen much of New Mexico? I'm just curious how much you see in the Lobos, because last year, me and Chris would get flack because New Mexico's a boring team. Their offense is no fun to watch. I'm like, that's far from the truth. Their offense, yes, it's unique and it's a triple option, heavy run base, but I think it's fairly exciting for the big plays they can do. And I'm wondering, like, what have you got a chance to really watch them at all? Because this game could trip up Hawaii as well, just especially, like we said, if there's any injuries on that front seven.
I haven't got a chance to watch New Mexico, but, you know, looking at the Lobos, I would say, you know, there's definitely room for improvement. You know, they're kind of in a, you know, a Hawaii situation. You know, they improved to 4-8 last year, which I think is better than they've done in recent years, I believe.
Yeah.
Bob Davey, he's kind of hanging on a thread right there out in Albuquerque. So, and, you know, they have talented kids, you know. They got a good offensive line. You know, that front seven's going to be good, but, you know, that's going to be kind of the toss-up game. You know, both teams, both coaches need that win to keep their job.
Yeah, definitely. I think with New Mexico, I kind of peg New Mexico maybe like a bowl team, like right on that edge, because when they played Boise State, I'll tell anybody who listens to me, even though Boise fans will say I hate their team no matter what, not true, but they'll say it, I forget, they have so many running backs here. I think the starter, whoever it was that game, had he not gotten down at halftime or the first play in the third quarter, Boise would have lost that game because he was just eating them alive. And so that's where in that game, talent-wise, New Mexico can be hit or miss. If they have a guy, if it's Lamar Jordan, if he can throw the ball to Carlos Wiggins or all the guys they brought into receiver, if they actually throw the ball a little bit, they're going to be dangerous. But again, I could see either team winning that type of game. I would pick at this point very early New Mexico just because what they can do offensively and how they can just destroy teams on the ground. But if they get to that stretch, those games. New Mexico's probably their biggest game, I think, on there to save some confidence.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the UNLV or San Jose State UNLV stretch last year. You know, this team already knows it's not going to a bowl game, and the goal right now is to, you know, get a win, you know, boost the team's confidence a little bit. And, you know, that San Jose State game last year was, I think, a big confidence booster because, one, you shut out a team at their place. And then, two, the next game comes off kind of in walk-off fashion, you know, last play of the game.
Yeah, because at that point, because let's just kind of, if we go there, let's say they get two wins out of that stretch. It's UC Davis and, who knows, New Mexico, Colorado, or San Diego State, because I think all those are winnable. They're sitting at 2-5. And then the last stretch, it's not easy, but it's not difficult, but it's not really easy because Air Force is still kind of tough. It will be tough. Nevada, that could be a winnable game. UNLV is winnable. Fresno, they're replacing a lot. San Jose State, there's a chance. They got to have two wins, but they have, for confidence, they have to win that last game versus New Mexico, because they lose, I think they're dying for. They're not like, oh, who cares? We're not even going to be make a bowl game, and North Charles can be fired.
Yeah, I think looking at the front, the first seven games compared to the last six is so much more doable in terms of like competing and, you know, staying in these games than if you looked at the, you know, front or first seven games. You know, you mentioned Nevada, you mentioned Air Force, you mentioned UNLV. I think all of those are winnable games. You know, there is a percent chance I would give Hawaii to win those games. And I think, you know, Norm Chow mentioned it, you know, beginning of last season, they have to finish. If they can come out swinging and put up points on the board and finish these games and not fall down the stretch, then I think the wins are there. But at the same time, we've heard the same thing over and over again. We got to finish, we got to finish, but it never comes to.
Yeah, show me that you're going to finish.
Yeah. I mean, they had instances where they finished last year. I talked about, you know, the Wyoming game. I talked about San Jose State, UNLV. But against those are kind of, you know, last year they were bottom-tier teams. A lot of the teams in this front seven, or this back six, they're going to be middle-of-the-road teams. you know, for Hawaii to, you know, kind of get, take a step out of the ceiling, and for Norm Chow to at least have some sort of grip on his job, they got to be able to finish against these middle of the road teams.
Yeah, they do, and they also, if you look at who they're not playing, they miss CSU and Utah State and Wyoming. That's the three teams they miss, and those three teams could all be bowl teams. They're lucky on that respect, but look at their last, because they play 13 games, so they have to get to 7. And so they're out of their last, let's just say they win one game. Well, no, yeah, if they're sitting at 1-6 after New Mexico, they have to win out, obviously, if you can do basic math there. But they need at least 2 wins, because out of all their games from Nevada on, just real quick, it's at Nevada, host Air Force, at UNLV, host Fresno, host San Jose State, and host ULM, Louisiana Monroe. Last 3 at home. They get 4 of their last 6 at home. I could honestly say I could see them winning 5 of those games. The only game I would say almost no chance is Air Force game.
I would agree with you on Air Force.
And that's at Hawaii, where things happen, but that's where they can't have one win, clearly. I think their best case scenario, if they get to 2 wins, I'd give them if they're sitting at 2-6, 2-5 at that point, I'd say, okay, they have a chance because they're at home. They get all those teams that are UNLV. Yeah, get Devontae Boyd. He's pretty good. They're still looking at quarterback. Fresno's rebuilding everything this year. San Jose State hasn't been very good. Monroe's won 4 games last year. But I think to be safe, there has to be 3 wins in that first half, and I don't know if they have 3 wins. They might.
Yeah.
Aztecs, yeah. Lobos, UC Davis, and Colorado, they need to win 3 of those, I think, to say, okay, I could see them getting the bowl game. I'd be pretty confident if they're 3-4.
Yeah, a big reason for me saying Hawaii, I think the ceiling for this team is around 5 or 6 wins, is because of this back half of the schedule, you know. While playing at Aloha Stadium isn't exactly a home field advantage for the couple thousand that show up every Saturday, I do think having 4 of 6 will definitely help, you know, the team's confidence, at least, you know, playing in a familiar environment rather than, you know, playing out in Reno or Las Vegas, you know. But
yeah,
I would say that, you know, 3 wins, like you mentioned, I think you mentioned that 3 wins is definitely very possible in this backstretch. You know, looking at ULM, you know, looking at UNLV and possibly San Jose State. And then you have these, you know, games that are toss-ups. I think that 3 wins is very possible.
And that's where they got to have that first half, because they're going to, no doubt, they're going to get beat up playing who they're playing the first month of the season, because every team outside of UC Davis has more depth and probably more talent almost at, not across the board, but 65-70% almost. And talents of who they bring in. We have not many questions tonight, so we'll get to some questions. We got our one guy, Tim D. Hance on Twitter, who's always interacts with us and chats with us all the time.
Thanks,
so,
Tim.
Yes, thank you very much, Tim. I think he's a Fresno guy, I believe. I should probably click and find out, but he's in California, so that's he's in California. Yeah, Utah State University says okay. Sorry about the Fresno State there, Tim, but with here's his question. Is this the last season for Norm Chow? And if so, it's because is he fired or retires? And I'll kind of go first and you'll pick up, but it depends on the wins, clearly. But what do you think? Let's just go with the worst-case scenario. Like, if he's gone, like, his second half makes more sense. Do you think he would just say, okay, I'm done? Or do you think he'd actually want to stay and say, no, you're fired from the school?
Well, I do think this is a job he wants, you know. There's a reason he was one of the top candidates, you know, in late 2011 when the job opened up. You know, he's from the islands, you know, he's got great offensive experience. You know, he coached so many, you know, big name quarterbacks. You got Matt Leiner, and of course you got Jim McMahon, you know. He's a good offensive mind.
Yeah,
but,
Phillip,
you know,
Rivers, yeah,
as
everybody.
A head coach, it hasn't panned out.
Here's
and,
what
I'm we're
real
getting
quick.
Into
He made Vince Young look like a very good NFL quarterback in Tennessee. That's all you can look at right there. He made Vince Young look good.
Yeah, I mean, and that tells you right there he's part wizard.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's, again, very talented. You know, across the board, you know, great offensive mind. Probably one of the better ones out there. He won assistant coach of the year, you know, early in the 2000s. But you know, as offense, as a head coach, you know, it hasn't panned out at Hawaii. We're in year four of the Norm Chow experience, and, you know, there's been very little, you know, redeeming qualities about it. And, you know, he's 8-29, you know, that's one of the lowest lowest starts in Hawaii history in terms of win percentage. But, you know, we're coming into this fourth year. I think that they're going to end up buying him out of his contract, you know, barring a bowl bid. I think a bowl bid is the only thing that saves his job right now. You know,
they have money
six
for
or
that?
Seven wins. Like, do what?
They need the money. They talked about dropping their program, even though that's probably never going to happen. Do they have the money? Because didn't they ask the state for $6 million or something recently?
I think they did. You know, it's always brought up the program, you know, very, very deep in the red. But the buyout with Norm Chow, after this fourth year, the buyout drops to about $200,000, which I think is more manageable than the, I think it was $750,000, for the first 3 years. So I think, you know, a buyout is a manageable option now that buyout drops. But I don't see Norm Chow retiring. That's my thing, and that's why I think buyout seems more likely. But I did mention the bowl. If they do get a bowl bid, then I think you can at least consider keeping him for a fifth year. I mean, since the first bowl bid since 2009 or 10, I think then, yeah, you got to keep him.
So he's right. He had a five-year deal. Am I correct? It's typically the standard 5 years. That's what he's on.
It was a five-year deal for about, I think, $2-something million. $2-something million sounds about right. And there's this four years, and then the buyout clause drops, and that's why, you know, I think, you know, I didn't expect him to get fired. I thought he deserved to get fired, but being Hawaii's situation with their athletic department right now, it's understandable why they kept him.
So if they make a bowl game, they're not going to – is it going to be – there's a couple options they could do. One option is I would give it like a 1% chance, no extension, because, heck, if you get to a bowl game – with this type of schedule and their success, he's going to be around. I wonder if they'll just do, oh, here's a two-year extension, so technically 3 years left, and a minimal, marginal raise, I'm guessing. That's probably it. I don't think the people at Hawaii want to keep him more than, even if he does well, more than probably 4 years from now.
Yeah, fans, I think, you know, if you go to, believe it or not, fans, I think, you know, I think they've grown tired of this. They want to see the program, you know, brought back to some relevance and prominence, and I don't think they're going to get it with Norm Chow. But, you know, there's always the age-old argument, like, oh, you want to fire this guy? That's great, but who are you going to get?
And how much, you know, can you pay as well?
Yeah, you know, they want to get someone, but if they want to get someone good, they're going to have to shell out more money, sending the department even further into the red.
Yeah,
so
there's a reason. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that's the big concern is money right now.
Yeah, and there's also a reason why Norm Chow never got a head coach after go back to BYU with Lavelle Edwards. There's a reason why he's never gotten that head coaching job. It took so long to be at his home state. Offensive mind of what he's done, Heisman Trophy winners. He was the guy at USC. He was the reason they were winning. It wasn't – you got Pete Carroll, of course. It wasn't – because of the other Yahoos there, Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. It wasn't because of them, even though they got the big jobs. It was because of Norm Chow. Like I said, Tennessee,
yeah, I mean,
NC State, he made Phillip Rivers a Heisman contender quarterback.
Yeah, and there's a reason, you know, USC hung about, I think it was about 50 in that 2004 title game, which never happened according to the NCAA. But, you know, that offense was just so fun to watch, you know? And I mean, like you mentioned, big reason was Norm Chow. I harp on it. He's really good. He's a very good offensive mind. But if you give him control of an entire team, I just don't think it balances out well.
Yeah, he fired the OC or whatever happened to what Aaron Seiler last year, like mysteriously
right
on leave.
Right before the season, 2013.
Yeah, like the day before fall camp or something, whatever it was. And he's gone. He knows what he's doing, but he just seems in charge. I don't know what they can do with more coaches, so he can just coach the offense. But what? So are you saying bowl game or bust, and he's gone? So a minimum of 7 wins.
I said minimum 7 wins. He can stay. Anything lower than that, I don't see an argument in keeping him. you know, then
lame duck
it becomes
coach.
Manageable to get rid of him after this year.
Yeah, you got the money, and then because it's 1 year left, and so why would you want him around? Because you're not going to, unless only small, one scenario I could see, but then it raises the buyout. Like, say they do start off poorly, but win, like, four of the last five. Oh, they're on a roll. They're showing momentum. There may be some confidence given. Like, okay, we'll do a token one-year extension, no raise. And probably and possibly just a buyout to something where it's not no like minimal or no increase from what it would be if he was just on that fifth and final year. That's the only way he might stay around. Because no coach wants to go into his last year without a deal going forward.
Yeah, I think those are definitely two of the more likely. If they do make a bowl game, those are definitely the most likely options. You know, just a little gift extension, as you put it. You know, like, here's another year for X amount of dollars, or we'll just let you coach out the final year of your contract. I think those are two very likely options on the chance that Hawaii is bowl eligible. Because, you know, for all we know, this could be a one-year thing where Hawaii makes a bowl game, then coming into that next year, we're back to the 2012-14 Hawaii team.
Yeah, it all comes back to if it's Max Wittig, then you're done, one and done. So, all right,
yeah,
let's get to some.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Let's get to some fun questions here. So, since Hawaii's quite literally half a continent away from you, odds of you heading out to a game, they do come in your neighborhood. Is there any chance to go to a road Hawaii game? Wisconsin, Ohio. My geography's not great, but isn't that reasonably close to you? Columbus, Madison?
I'd say it's about, Ohio's probably more of a 10-hour drive from Columbia.
That's a bit further than I thought.
Wisconsin is a little more. I'd love to go to a Hawaii game. You know, if Hawaii, for some reason,
come on, Missouri,
schedule Missouri, then yes, I would go.
Okay. I wasn't sure how far Wisconsin or Ohio would be, because I know the Midwest is quite spacious.
The Midwest is close to everything.
It's unlike when I grew up in, I mean, Houston, grew up in Texas, where you drive 8 hours to get out of the state unless you're going east. It's like, oh, we're still in Texas? We're halfway. I've driven from Texas to Utah. Over half your drives in Texas.
Yeah, I would imagine so. We drove 6 hours and we made it to the midway point of the state.
Pretty much. You're in, I think, Lubbock by then. Maybe you still got three more hours left. So if you could go to any Hawaii game, would it be going to Honolulu? Or obviously you'd go there anyway just because it's Hawaii.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to go to Honolulu, but, you know, I'd love to see Hawaii against, you know, a big-name program. You know, if Ohio State was closer, then, yeah, I'd love to see Hawaii, Ohio State, or, you know, even in the future, you know, you got Hawaii, BYU is going to be a fun game. I think Hawaii is going to UCLA. There's definitely a lot of, you know, fun non-conference games. I think a Hawaii non-conference game against a Power 5 opponent would be really fun.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? Because my line disconnected, and I heard you just say something would be really fun.
Oh, well, Hawaii football is really fun, Jeremy. Let me explain it to you. I think a Hawaii non-conference game against a Power 5 opponent would be really fun. You know, I talked about some of their future opponents. You got UCLA's on the schedule, BYU. There's Wisconsin again. I think any of those games could be fun.
Okay, that makes sense. I was curious. Apparently, I unplugged my Ethernet cable here. So I'm like, oh, good thing the show keeps going. But those are some good games. I've seen Hawaii play at BYU a couple years ago. Wasn't very competitive. There's too many injuries in the first five plays, if I recall, under defense, and that blew things open quite a bit for BYU just to crush them. I'd want to see them play New Mexico, just because New Mexico's a pretty cool. I've been there a couple of times. It's actually similar to out here in Utah. It looks nice, fun place to be a little for what you see visually, but the way the two teams are competitive, it'd be a competitive game. And I just want to see New Mexico in person for football, because I don't know why I like their offense, but they seem excited. And playing Hawaii, hey, you can see Norm Chell stumble across the off the sidelines.
Just furiously yelling at his defense. Why can't we stop this? This defense is ridiculous. This offense is so simple.
Yeah, I got five plays. Yeah, he thinks it's simple. He got five options in one play. But, okay, any final thoughts on the Warriors? We've gone just over the hour mark. Do you have anything you want to, anything you want to discuss or I missed or failed to mention?
Well, I do want to say that this team, you know, they're going to struggle. I think there's low and high ceilings, but, you know, again, it's the main topic. If they finish, then this team can be very good. If not, then someone hit copy-paste on 2014 again.
Well, okay, one game, that clearly makes plenty of sense there. It's they got to take a step forward, but out of any games where there's a possible upset, within reason, obviously, Ohio State's off the table, but what team would that be where you'd see, oh, this is an upset that I didn't really see coming, but it's a plausible scenario?
I'd probably say, I think I'm trying to pick between San Diego State or Air Force. I mean, those are obvious upsets. I think those are upsets. I do think Hawaii, you know, can compete against those teams. I think, you know, the fact that both of those are at home helps too, but then I already joked about the home field advantage environment of Hawaii, almost non-existent. But I think, you know, if at that point Norm Chow has his quarterback and the team's healthy, then I think those games are competitive, and the ball bouncing one way or another, I think Hawaii can come out on top.
I'd peg Air Force as that team, where I think Air Force is probably a little bit better than the Aztecs, but I was looking at those two games like, okay, it's not Colorado. I wouldn't count that as too much of an upset, but like Boise, Wisconsin, no, Monroe, but I'd go with Air Force. They're probably the most talented team Hawaii might be able to beat.
Yeah.
Is that the nice way to put it, I guess?
Yeah. I think Air Force, the reason I kind of picked that is because, you know, that offense is going to be good again. You know, it always usually is under Troy Calhoun, but, you know, the defense is really young. So I think, you know, a good offensive performance from Hawaii could definitely, you know, turn the tables.
Yeah, I think I'm out of Hawaii stuff now. We're an hour plus, and good thing I made the show 90 minutes just because we went past the hour mark with Hawaii, but nothing else to add. Hawaii, I'm going five wins. We'll discuss this once it gets closer to the season. We'll probably do, I think you joined us last year. We had like everybody on for like 2 minutes, give some predictions or stuff. So we'll probably do that again in August. But
so I don't get an hour block.
Well, no, not for that. This is your hour block right now.
So if people don't want to hear 2 hours worth of Hawaii content.
I guess we're probably the only place doing this much to Hawaii at all. So we gotta
MountainWest.com on SBA Nation.
Check us out there. When we have about 20 plus contributors and let's say 15 join, I think we did a 2 hour show last year on predictions. So that's why we're two or three minutes, if I recall. We had about 10 people on, and of course with me and the other Chris Hondris, we'd like to chat a bit, and so that extended it beyond that. But let's do what we do every show now. I guess it's kind of the thing I do, or for some reason I brought up because I messed around with Chris a little bit. Twitter followers, let's get you increasing, since our reach is so massive to the thousands of listeners who find out the show, but even more on who come to the website. But Chris L. Turner is your Twitter handle, currently at 375 followers. Not too bad. That's you're more than Parker, but less than Chris. So that's kind of in the middle.
See, I'm scared Parker's puns are going to get him caught in a dark part of Twitter, and I'm not going to be able to get him out. You and I aren't going to be able to get him out.
Nope. I assume that could be coming if there's a BYU discussion with Parker, and then I'll somehow get dragged in because I cover, follow, need to know about that team from one of my many jobs I have. So we'll see. That's how you get followers, though. We got to be more punny on the Twitter. But also, I guess if you're in Missouri, check out KOMU. So what do you say, you're a 7 a.m. morning sports news guy?
Thursday mornings, I go on the air around 5:45.
Whew. That is early.
I'm at the station 4 days a week at 2:30.
2:30 a.m. to get that makeup on, right?
Well, one of the days I sports anchor. The other three, I'm a production assistant. So I sit in a little corner and cut all the national news video you see go on the news.
Ah, those are fun jobs. I do that with the audio version of some stuff. Cut this up for him. I need this clip right now. Don't mess up.
and I also, I got the best job. I sit there and run prompter for the news anchors.
Ooh. Excellent.
I mean,
excellent.
I say that sarcastically. I mean, it's easy work, but, I mean, it gets boring seeing the same show run for 3 hours straight.
Oh, I get you. I listen to BYU stuff 3 hours a day and need to contribute as well. So there's times like, oh, I'm having a snack. Oh, wait, you want to ask me a question? Sorry, I need to spit out my apple or something.
That's
good.
The beautiful world of sports journalism.
It is. Let's give Chris some followers. Let's see. Can I put a goal for our Facebook page? I want to get to 2,000 by the start of the season. We're at about 16-something. Let's get you to 500. Yeah, let's get Chris L. Turner, Twitter handle there, to 500 by football season. Could that be done?
Oh, my heart just skipped the beat. Did you say 500 followers?
Hey, you're on TV, man. You should be getting that quickly.
Yeah, oh, man. From all the local 50-year-old moms that are up watching me at that time?
7 a.m. Hey, you got the people getting ready for work, right?
Yeah, but do they really want to watch this, like, just watch a 20-year-old kid do the sport?
Well, you never know. Maybe they'll listen in the background, but
we'll see. While they're getting dressed. Oh, this kid's rambling on. I don't care. I got to work.
Well, the Tigers are doing what? The softball team? Oh, okay, move on.
Tigers are what? I don't care. I just got to work.
I'm a Kansas guy. I'm KU. I live on the border.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a few of them in the area, but they don't mention it publicly.
That would probably be a mistake. Like, I know we're going way off topic, but that's what we do. Me being, it's kind of funny. I'm a University of Utah graduate. I run this site where Utah hasn't been around in years. And I also cover and work and have to monitor BYU. So it gets fun on Twitter for myself when stuff intertwines. You like everybody and hate everybody at the same time. So it's like, oh, thanks. What am I going to do?
You're a jack of all sports trade.
And everybody hates me, apparently, it seems like.
For what it's worth, I don't hate you, Jeremy, and I don't think Parker does. And
I got a few people.
I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. But this is our show tonight. Hawaii, early, almost June 1st preview. So check us out again. MWC Connection.
Set your alarms.
Yeah, set the alarm for news, I guess, in KOMU, if you want to do that.
Set your alarms for Hawaii football. Don't bother watching me. I can't take the pressure.
Okay, we'll do that. 1 a.m. Eastern time, the opener. But, yeah, if you're a Hawaii fan living in the States, try to get Oceanic Time Warner somehow. Get a VPN from Honolulu. You didn't hear that from me, but that's an idea, perhaps. Hey, that's how the Dodgers fans
under the table stuff from Mountain West Connection.
That's how people get Dodgers games in L.A. VPN running through Juarez and Mexico City.
I think I watched a few on a insert sports streaming site here. I'm not going to go ahead and say it, otherwise the FBI will shut it down and I won't have anything to watch it with.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fun. But iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, give us a review. Like I tell every week, give us a 5-star review, but tell us what you really feel. If we're terrible, if you really do like us, if we're mediocre, give us your real thoughts.
Talking about San Diego State so much.
Boise State.
I love those Facebook comments. When I don't look.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and admit this. I don't look at the Facebook page often enough, but anytime I do go on there, there's always someone that accuses us of being biased for one team, and it's usually Boise or San Diego.
Well, part of San Diego was there was a time where Matthew Bain was there attempting to spin off their own thing, so content was Aztec heavy. We've kind of fixed that a few months ago, but that happened recently, not too long ago, within the past couple months, but there's a reason for that. We kind of fixed and tweaked and stuff, but yeah, there's always complainers. It doesn't matter. You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
That's why I say 5 stars, but give us your real thoughts because they'll give us a boost to get us to a high amount of listeners. But that's our show tonight. Hope you liked the Hawaii content, the last 15 minutes of whatever this was, I guess.
Just good old content. It doesn't have to be Hawaii content. Just good old content.
Yeah, we can talk about whatever. Yeah, so check out Chris Turner. Chris L. Turner on Twitter. Give him the 500. MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection, Facebook, all that stuff. And our plan is our next show will be Fresno State. It'll either be, I don't know when people are listening to this, but it could be the first week of June or the second week of June. We'll see. I got vacation to go to, so we'll see when this show happens. But keep listening. All of our previews are in one spot on SoundCloud. We've got a playlist there. Check all that out. And we'll chat with everybody next time discussing Fresno State football.